Reggie ATL Sports Talk with Eugene Morgan, coming to you live from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia. And Eugene, finally, we might have some sports.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that. Turn myself up a bit here. I'm very excited about that. And it's been a long time coming. We were about, about 3-4 months? It's been about 3-4 months since the last sport was played. Seems like an eternity ago, right? Seems like it's a year ago. So baseball is finally moving in the right direction after show after show after show of us discussing them moving not at all.
Yeah.
What do you think made the change for baseball? Like, what do you think? Do you think there was one thing that pushed them over the edge, or was it just kind of time running out that pushed them over the edge?
It was just, time running out, and then they couldn't decide, so the commissioner had to decide. So players push for 70, or the owners push for 60, players push for 70, both got rejected. Now everyone agrees on 60 again. So so again, you got the back and forth, and then the commissioner has to step in, and now everyone who was complaining. Oh, players coming out. Now they're all excited. So I'm so confused.
Yeah. I get that. I think that the players probably saw the writing on the wall here with the timing. And I think that it got down to the end and something actually got done. It reminds me a lot of our political process. A lot of times, you know, things get down to the 12th hour, and then, maybe senators or representatives stay in Washington over midnight or going right up to the deadline to get something enacted. And I felt like time was a key negotiator in this negotiation. You know, time was sitting at the table with everybody else and like, well, I'm running out. So we're going to have to do something or not. You know, either we do something or we don't. And I felt like we were kind of up against it time wise, even a couple weeks ago when we were talking about it. Felt like time was kind of running out.
Right. Yeah. I think you called it. It had to be this week or for something happened, or again, you're canceling it.
It's and you're the only one, Eugene, not playing. Everybody else is in plans. Everybody else is in stages.
Everyone.
To play.
Everyone. Yes. Wasn't it like hockey? I think they were like one of the first to come out and say, look, we're just going to go right to playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, everybody's got a plan except baseball. Everybody's got one, right? Everybody has one. And then we get to baseball and they're back and forth. I'm excited for any sports. I'm probably going to watch more baseball than I've ever watched this year. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to watch a lot of games. I'm going to have a lot of games on.
Well, it's 60 games. So
it's a watchable season, like you said, too. 60 games is a very watchable season.
Watchable season. And then they're only going to play within their division for like the majority of it. And then it's only gonna be like 20 games are going to be interleague, but then it's going to be East versus East. So that'd be fun. So the Braves will have to be, we'll get some games against the Yankees, against the Red Sox, those teams like that.
Are they going to be out at SunTrust, you think? SunTrust Park?
From what I've been reading, they're trying to keep it where teams are just going to be traveling to those East cities. So
I really want to go to a game, man. I want to get out.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's what they're going to do, but how they're going to do it is like probably do like social distancing that way. But hey, at least we get a designated hitter.
Is it designated hitter for both leagues?
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally.
Finally.
It only took a pandemic.
But it's only for this season, though.
Boo. So boo to that. Yeah. So hopefully it's just amazing and they never do away with it.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think they should institute this all the time. Runners on second base to start extra innings. I think that should be just universal. It's just speed this crap up, you know? There should be no more 18-inning, 20-inning games. Nobody needs to watch that.
I hope let's limit these things to 9. Like even 9 can drag depending on how the game is going.
Yeah.
So let's please not get into the double digits.
Yeah.
Unless it's just a super exciting game. I want if the innings are in double digits, I want the scores to be in double digits. That's the only way I want to see a double digit inning game.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I'm right there with you.
So what do you think is going to happen now with who's favorite? Like looking at the teams going into the season, baseball is always the hardest league for me to call. For one, because I don't watch it as much. But for two, it doesn't have the predictability of basketball. And football can be completely unpredictable because the Super Bowl is only one game. And getting to the Super Bowl are single elimination games. So it's harder to predict that until you get further and deeper into the NFL season and seeing who's healthier and stuff like that. Baseball, I just have no clue. I don't even know who's even decent because a lot of teams that might seem decent throughout the year aren't there at the end. So it's you used to be able to call it by just seeing who's going to be a 100-game winner, right? Back in the day, you see a 100-game winner, you knew for sure. Well, you probably know for sure now they'd be in the postseason, but you just don't know if they're going to actually get over the hump now. You know, you have a lot of small market teams. Baseball is smart, has a lot of small market teams that have done very well in the postseason. And I'm pretty sure the same thing with Kansas City now. A small market team that's done pretty well in the NFL. So it's harder for me to call in baseball. Do you have a favorite in particular yourself that you're a team you're looking at, player you're looking at?
I think, you know, obviously, I mean, the two big spender teams, I think, are going to be there. It's the Dodgers and the Yankees. I mean, those are the two easiest.
They buy their ways into relevance every year.
I mean,
and the Dodgers, the Dodgers can just get over the hump, man. When are the Dodgers going to get over the hump? When are they going to get over the hump?
Maybe this is the year for them. Maybe this is the year, or, you know, that's, but again, we'll have to see if they have that postseason collapse again.
It seems like the Dodgers have been good for the last 5 years, but not been able to get over the hump.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong on five. Maybe it's been less, but they've been good.
This feels like it's been
quite a few years. They've been more than serviceable on the diamond and not being able to deliver in the postseason. Which has got to be frustrating for their fans. And they're playing 7-series games, so you can't even blame that on single elimination. They're just getting beat.
Exactly. And it's not like they don't have the best hitters or the best pitching. They've always
From top down, a decent, a pretty good class, above class organization from a sports standpoint in general. You got respectable teams, respectable ownership, respectable results, respectable product you put on the field. Not respectable end results, though. Which is strange.
But they are clearly the odds favorites right now to win the World Series.
The Dodgers are.
Yep.
Okay.
Yankees.
Okay. It'd be amazing Astros to see that happen. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. The Astros are 3, and the Braves are in the 4th spot there.
The Braves.
Yeah.
In the 4th spot to win the World Series.
Yeah.
The Braves.
You got to look at the talent they have on the field.
I feel like the manager did a wonderful job turning over that thing around because 2-3 years ago it was stink. It was a dump here in Atlanta. It was a dump, and it was turned around way quicker than I thought it would be.
So that's the thing. We've got the young talent. It's just, can we, you know, do we have enough experience to get over that hump in the World Series, the playoffs in the World Series?
What do you think? Odds on paper. If you had to put your money up.
I don't know. I you know, I'm a like truly a sports fan. You know, I don't think we're there. I mean, but I mean, again, we do have the short season behind us, so that's kind of nice. So
I think at the end of the day, I don't trust the depth in the bullpen, which I feel like you got to have for any kind of postseason run in any league that has a 7-game series in their postseasons. The bench and your depth become super important. And in baseball, that's called a bullpen. It's got to be there because you're going to go into that thing pretty deep going into postseason.
And the Braves did that this year, though. That was the great thing. And that's why it's been so frustrating to wait for the season to happen, because the Braves, that's what they did this last past season.
Short up
the bullpen. They shored up, though. I mean, they got enough. They got more than one person that can close the game. They got former closers. They really did a great job in that bullpen. So, but it was nice to see what that could really carry us. Because you're right. That's been the name of the game last 5 years. Almost go 10 years on this. Is that middle relief bullpen has become way more important, because again, starters aren't going 9 innings anymore. It's 5 or 6.
Yeah,
nine.
Because if you're gonna go into a 7 game, like managers are thinking about. If they got to pull that player out in a crucial game 7 or in a deciding game, it's hard to manage if you want your ace to pitch into the seventh, eighth innings. Or you want to try to pull him after like 6.
Yeah, exactly. Cause then you've got to play that long game. Okay. Like if, yeah, we're going to pitch another number one guy in that game four. You know, am I going to only get him on 3 days rest? You don't want him pitching out there for 8 or 9 innings. You want him to go six strong and okay, get them and get the bullpen out there.
And I would hope that this would be the year for Atlanta. I definitely would be out at some games. Hopefully if we're in the stands, you know, I don't know if we're going to be, but I would be happy to be out there watching. There was a couple. I went to one last year. I only went to one last year, but I would try to make it out to at least a couple this year if we were having games.
It's a beautiful stadium. It's got, I mean, the seating is great no matter where you sit. I mean, it's a nice, in the whole surrounding area, it's nice, but you know, let's hope they're going to be smart and do some social distancing. You know, that's, I don't know. I haven't ever seen how they're going to do it in the beginning. So
it's hard for me personally. You know, this thing has become politicized, but for me personally, it's hard for me to trust any restaurant, business, sports organization that has not done any mitigation efforts. If I see that you've done none, you've done no mitigation, you've done nothing to address these this problem, then I probably will stay away from your business.
Right.
Because I don't trust that you've done absolutely nothing to at least when I see businesses that go overboard, I'd rather see that you're addressing it too much than you're not addressing it at all. So if they're not addressing it, I won't be at the park this year. If they're at least trying to address it, I might go to, I can't even say that I will, because if the numbers are going up like they are now, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to sit in a seat to watch baseball is a risk. My risk reward situation is not going to allow me to do that. You know what I mean? No. I just don't want to see the game that bad. I wouldn't even do that for sports I like more. I wouldn't do that for an NBA game. I wouldn't go sit in on a Hawks game right now. And I wouldn't do it for a football game. And I love those teams a little bit more. The sports, I should say. I love all my Atlanta teams, but the sports I like a little bit more. So speaking of football, let's get into the fact that Mahomes came out and said that he won't play for the Chiefs.
Oh, you know what? I looked at that. I think that's a fake article because I kept looking at it.
I can't find it. I wasn't able to find it either. So let me look it up again while we're on. But let's address the spirit of the story, whether it's true or not. Because I felt like this was going to be an issue with the Redskins, not necessarily the Chiefs. But I felt like it was going to be an issue with the Redskins. So besides the Mahomes and Chiefs situation, whether that's true or fake, what do you feel about the notion of it, the spirit of it?
Oh, a player like taking a stand like that?
I mean, for the Chiefs, for this specific situation.
And now I am reading that he's not refusing to play. it was a fake Twitter account. Okay. But no, I think that's it'd be great for him, like a high profile athlete to do that and say, hey, let's change it. But you know, you're right, these are long overdue. The Chiefs is long overdue. The Redskins is long overdue.
I've never viewed the Chiefs as being as disrespectful as the Redskins. Like, you know, the Chiefs, it seems like a chief, like, it seems like a celebration. And I haven't really heard as many in the Native American community, not that I have a vast Native American network of friends, but I haven't heard them in the media as much complaining about the chief label as much as the maybe Cleveland Indians or the Redskins. The Redskins seems to be the most controversial that I've heard personally.
Right.
And I've told you before that I don't really like using the term. I'd much rather say Washington. I'm not going to say I've never used the term because, of course, that's what they've been called for so long, and it's hard to just change that overnight. However, that being said, it's pretty easy for me not to use a term that even 3 or 4 people felt was disrespectful.
Right.
Why do I have to crowdsource a disrespected percentage when I can just choose a name that doesn't disrespect anybody?
Yeah. Hell, they changed the bullets because they have the reference of a bullet in it. I mean, they can't change the Redskin name. I mean, come on, guys. Let's get into it.
If 1,000 out of the millions felt that name was disrespectful, why would you keep it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you said, it's a long overdue thing. It doesn't take away from the team. It doesn't take away from the history. It doesn't take away from anything. It just puts it right. Gets it on the right side of history. get over, get, you know, you were this for how many years? And it's like, come on, just look, you know, feel the room, look around, look what's going around, look what's happening, and just be proactive.
What do you
just
think it would take, you know, for Snyder to actually do that? What would it take for the Redskins name to be changed?
I don't, or Snyder is just so, he's just doesn't understand. I don't think he grasps.
He seems dug in, man.
He does.
He's dug in. He's been fighting this Redskin war for a few years, and it's heating up.
I just don't see. He doesn't seem like a very, like, he doesn't. And from what I read, he hires a lot of yes men around him, so he doesn't have many people that are going to disagree with him. They say, if you don't agree with him, you're usually out. So he's always going to be that kind of person that thinks he's always right. And that's why, unfortunately, that's why his franchise continuously fails, because he doesn't have something that's going to challenge him. Same way with Dolan and with the Knicks. Doesn't have a lot of yes men around him. And, you know, and that you can see where that franchise has gone for the last 20 years.
That's horrible.
That's
horrible, man, because I don't, right, on the surface, views Dan Snyder in the same way that I view James Dolan. I don't view them the same. Dolan seems much more dysfunctional. Maybe because of his, maybe he's owned the Knicks longer. I have to look at it and see. Maybe I haven't blamed, and the Redskins haven't looked as bad as the Knicks have looked in that time period either. They've had some, they've shown some spots here and there of being respectable, a respectable franchise.
Yeah. Even if the year with Cousins were there, like they had some decent years.
You heard the thing, same thing too, when RG3 was there. So you got to believe there's got to be some credibility to these stories about it being Dan Snyder's way or the highway to a certain degree. Oh, because, you know, when what's the coach that was there? Old Denver coach. Names on tip of my tongue.
Oh man, Shanahan.
Yeah, as I said, I had to think of Kyle to get to his dad. That's incredible.
Exactly. It's like,
that's hilarious.
I know, like,
I had to work your way back from his son, and he's freaking Hall of Fame coach. So Shanahan, when he wanted Kirk Cousins, and it was well documented that Dan Snyder wanted RG3. This was something that played out in the media, and now, fast forward all these years, maybe there was some credibility to being kind of the owner's way or the highway. Now, I don't think that's something that's just exclusive to the Redskins organization. It's the owner's way or the highway in most businesses. So maybe this is just yet another one. And the sports is always a strange thing, right? Because owners get into sports and they want to be involved in a certain way, but it always seems like if an owner is heavy-handed, that team is not as successful. You know, you don't have many instances of an owner being super active in the franchise and making decisions in the franchise and have that coincide with extended success. You know, when you look at the runs, I don't even know who owns the Spurs. I don't even know who owns them. Pop runs them, right? I know that Kraft owns the Patriots, but we know who runs the organization. Without a doubt, right? We know who runs it.
Yep.
So it's strange. You would think that a lot of owners would want to emulate that success. Not everybody can be a Jerry Jones. If you're a Jerry Jones, I feel like that's a bygone era. He's Jerry Jones is almost 100. You let him go now. It is what it is. Like, the Dallas Cowboys are an anomaly in that. Like, you know, Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. Just like Steinbrenner was Steinbrenner. But as you saw when Steinbrenner left baseball, there was not another Steinbrenner to replace him. Yeah. I think it'll be the same thing with Jerry Jones. There's not going to be another Jerry Jones to replace Jerry Jones when he leaves. So he's kind of like the anomaly to this.
He really is. He's the only owner you really think of. I mean, he's the one owner you think of, like you said, in professional football that you think of. That's the first owner you think of. I couldn't even name you our owner. I mean, never mind. I can't. I'm sorry. Arthur Blank. That was a dumb question. That was dumb. But I mean, but again, he's not vocal. Like, you don't think of him. I mean, we just see him on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's because Arthur Blank's not running the team. He's visible, but not visible, as vocal. I think it's good to. That's a good example, because a owner can be visible, right? I can know that you own the team. Like Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's a very visible owner. I don't think for a second that Mark Cuban runs the Mavericks. Not for a second.
Oh, no.
You know, and he's very visible, but I don't think for a second he runs them. So it's like, it's, you can have your cake and eat it too in that particular case, right? You can be very, very visible. Very visible. Just keep your hands off the actual franchise. Like, we all have skill sets. right? Yeah. And not everybody has a skill set to run a sports franchise. So it's if you happen to be fortunate enough to purchase one, hopefully you'll let the people who have the skill set to run it actually run it. That being said, I still don't know how that moves us any closer to getting the Redskins out of here for Washington. But maybe this is the time, you know, maybe what do you think? Do you think it will take anything? What would it take for the name to be changed? Because it's, as crazy as it sounds, Eugene, I don't think the name's going to go. However, if they came out tomorrow and said the name was going, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it would just take, and always would take pressure from, it would take pressure from the NFL to tell them to change, you know, you need to change your name. And it would take that kind of pressure. Because, you know, owners don't listen to players. So that's not...
No, when, those players, you know, are employees.
Right. So I'm not going to listen to them. I mean, it would almost take... And it surely hasn't... I mean, again, we'll have to see what kind of... you know, obviously, how much social pressure will come up when it starts up. Because, you know, what's going on now in the world is night and day compared to what's going on with the Redskins thing. You know, there's so much... There's so many other things happening right now that the Redskin, you know, name is so, like, it's not really on the radar right now. There's other big things happening right now. So it would have to put it in the forefront of the conversation. And I just don't see that happening this season. There's bigger things going to happen this season. And you can already see that. You can already see players and coaches are going to be kneeling. And I think that is going to be happening. The focus.
That's out the bag. It's happening, bro. It's almost like it cannot not happen now. You know, right. The NFL kind of needs it to happen, to be honest with you. And they need to be able to excuse it. They need, for the NFL to move past it, they need players to kneel, and they need nobody to say anything from an ownership or a league standpoint.
Right. And I think that is going to be the focus. Unless how we can heal in the community, the not only the social reform, but the police reforms that are the bills that are being passed, that you can see it's that to me is going to be more of the focus this year. And that's happening now. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see the Redskin name
being on the docket there.
Being on the docket. I mean, I I think it should be changed, but
I think it should be too.
If I'm putting the Redskins name or Confederate statues being pulled down, I'm going to Chris Federer statues being pulled down first
Sure.
Getting those things out of there. And, you know, and also I've sent you, I mean, a tweet about your great state of Mississippi finally changing their flag. Those to me are just night and day. I mean,
you know, what's crazy about that is, but before people think I'm from Mississippi, I had a business in Mississippi, but I only lived there for 2 years. But I did welcome Mississippi coming into the 21st century, because the 2 years I spent there, I spent roughly 2.5 years there. So the 2.5 years I spent there weren't as bad. I felt like Mississippi was getting a bad rap. There were certain things that were the way, like there, like education or lack thereof, lack of money, and the health situation. Those are three stereotypes that I did witness in Mississippi, all three of them.
Right.
I witnessed a disenfranchised, the entire, not exactly one particular culture, like in general, the population in general, below health, below a certain education level, you know, a pretty obese in general, like, you know, a highly amount of obese people. Education level not being as good as it could be, for sure. More agricultural economy too, but I think they need to embrace the future in order to move into it. So these are things that I did see, but I didn't see the racism like that. I did see racist moments. Like my friend took me to a place where you literally could see the train tracks. You know, they called it the train tracks, where you could go to the tracks and see white people on one side and black people on the other side. I had never seen anything like this in my entire life. And he took me there. This was like 2015. This is only 5 years ago. And I see it. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I could not believe it. Cause the train tracks weren't that the width wise, you're looking at maybe like 3, 4, 5 feet. Maybe if I count, if it was two tracks, maybe 6, 7 feet, the width wasn't very long, wasn't very wide, but the divide between that width was stark contrast across the tracks, you know? So I did see that. But I didn't know I was a black-owned business, and I had all kinds of customers, you know, of all walks of life. And I was never, I was treated very well out there, you know. So I do feel like that is not, Mississippi doesn't deserve that. And I'm definitely happy to see them come into the 21st century. That being said, if you embrace this flag, it is what it is. I can't want better for a place than it wants for itself.
Yeah, no, and again, we're looking outside, you know, outside looking in. So we just see that, we see that symbol, and we automatically think, well, the whole state's racist, you know.
Oh, for sure. And rightfully so. Unfortunately, if you know this is the way it is, and you know this is the way it is, you can choose to put your head in the sand and say that's not what it stands for me. You could choose to say that, but then you're going to get the other side, and this is just how it's going to happen. You can dig in. But obviously, this has been settled. This has been litigated, so to speak. The Confederate flag has been litigated. It's been settled. And I feel like the same thing with the Redskins in that sense. Like, it's been litigated to the point where the people that are offended saying that they were offended, you know, and now what is it up for the rest of us to do?
Yeah. And the cool thing is, too, you know, and they had pressure, and they had pressure from the South SEC. They said, look, if you don't change the flag, We're not gonna host anything there. You're not gonna have any championship games there.
If there's ever a testament to the power of college football in the South, this is it. This is it, because that was a factor. I don't know if it was 30% of the factor. I don't know if it was 3% of the factor, but it was a percentage of the factor in getting this change.
How it changed. SEC say we're not doing anything with you guys until you.
Would really take, Eugene, in my opinion, is for recruits not to go. If recruits stop going to these Mississippi teams, where it's Ole Miss and Mississippi State, if the recruits stop going to these teams, Mississippi would notice. Because another thing that I noticed when I was there is the college football is serious. It's either you're Mississippi State or you're Ole Miss,
right?
And they love hating each other. I could see why that would make somewhat of a difference, but I do think that is a testament to the power of college football in the South, man. It's a powerful thing.
So again, to circle back, that's the kind of thing, I think that's the kind of pressure it would take to get the Redskins name changed. But it would take the NFL to almost say, look, we're not, you know, doesn't matter if you finish, if you beat the Cowboys, they're still the division winner until you guys can change your name. I mean, they would never do that, but that's kind of pressure that it would take.
Yeah, so, and I think it would take pressure from your peers. It takes pressure from the other owners to be like, you're causing issues in our business as a whole. And we know the fraternal nature of these organizations. They tend to have 30 or so owners that are fraternal and tend to not want to rock the boat, you know, and understandably so, when you have to be voted to just be in general. You don't want to rock the boat with your fellow owners. So I do think it would take some pressure from them. I'm not sure if they would apply that pressure, because from Dan Snyder's perspective, you bought a team that had a name and you want to purchase all the history. I don't want to buy an AT&T and have it changed, the name changed when I buy it to something else, and I lose the benefit of all that AT&T has gained as a brand up to this point.
Right.
So I definitely get those kind of things would have to be thought about from Dan Snyder's perspective, and because that's not a racist thought, in my opinion. It's just a business thought of how do I salvage what's been a legendary franchise. It doesn't help that the Redskins have been a legendary franchise. It doesn't help with that name. They've been a legendary franchise, right?
Yes,
so
they have.
That doesn't bode well for anybody who's trying to get it changed and they don't own it, because the ownership can easily just say, I know what I purchased and I purchased this. If you told me I was going to be purchasing the Washington Snails or the Washington Jaguars or something like that, that's different. You know, the Redskins was the name. So we'll see what happens with that. I hope it's definitely changed from this point. And I've tried to do it a lot through this year. I'm going to stick to referring to Washington as Washington, and hopefully it spurs them to make a name change there somewhere down the line. Who do you like in basketball here? We got about a minute and a half or so here. Who do you like in the NBA? Do you like anybody in particular? Is it still the usual suspects, like the LAs of the world?
I still think the Lakers. I think the Lakers were just playing. I mean, you could see it But before, I mean, we were actually going to start having that serious conversation. Is LeBron the MVP? I mean, he was definitely creeping up on Giannis the way he was playing, this all around. I mean, he's always been an all around player, but then, you know, he's just been taken into another role this season.
Yeah, and at his age, it is something. This is incredible.
Isn't it amazing?
It's incredible. It is incredible to witness the career of LeBron James. It's been absolutely incredible. This is just something that doesn't happen a ton in any sport. Your Tom Brady's of the world. When these people hang it up, it's going to be a difference. Not to say the game, like the NFL, is in great shape. You see a lot of these. Look, Patrick Mahomes only been in the league for 2-3 years. He already won a Super Bowl. So the league and Lamar Jackson, these are the young kids. The league's in great shape. So it's not like the league's going to fall.
No.
But will we see somebody come and win the way that Tom Brady won, or the way that LeBron James won, despite the fact that LeBron James hasn't won as many championships as Tom Brady? It's still amazing to watch a player be able to play at that level for so long.
Yeah. I mean, what he's got, he's like, was he third in minutes played, all-time minutes played? I mean,
counting his high school. We know he was utilized a ton coming up through the ranks, you know, because he went straight from high school to the NBA. So, you know, he was his usage was probably already high pre-NBA.
Yeah. I mean that, and just, I honestly just don't think anyone could beat. I really think Milwaukee's going to make it. I could be totally wrong. And
like, make it to the chip, or make it all the way to the promised land? Like, they're going to win the chip.
I don't think they'll beat the Lakers. I think the Lakers, their roster, it's a funky roster, but they got enough.
Can you beat the Clippers? Because I've been saying people shouldn't sleep on the Clippers, but they have lost a little bit of sexiness here from people that I talked to.
The Clippers, to me, though, they've got too many people that stand around. They don't have a lot of good ball movement on their teams, and even on their trade deadline, they got more ball stoppers instead of guys that can move the ball around. So, I mean, they obviously, you have Kawhi, you got probably the best player, one of the best players in the NBA on your team. So anything can happen.
You got a chance.
I mean, but again, Paul George, is he healthy? Is he not?
Health is the only issue with Paul George that I worry about. When he's playing, I feel no worries about him when he's playing. The worry is if he's going to play.
Right. I just think that you got the two-headed monster with Davis and LeBron. I just think tough. Both. I mean, again, they've had this time to rest their bodies and be healthy. That's just scary. Those two guys healthy in the playoffs, I mean, that's a 1-2 punch that you're not going to be able to compete against.
Yeah. I agree. I think that I'm holding on to either the Lakers or the Clippers. I don't know. I need to see the playing now. I need to see how the pandemic has been on some of these athletes' bodies. Before I can give like a 100%, I feel like this is going to happen. So hopefully we get into June, or we get into July, and we'll be able. Oh no, we have to get into August, because then I'm starting to the end of July. So hopefully we get into
July 31st.
Wow. Okay, so when we get into August, we got a lot of time to talk about the build up to this. Do you think they're going to move it to a second site? I've been hearing with the rises of the virus in Florida, they're considering a second site. You think that'll be a good thing? I think if nothing else, a contingency plan wouldn't be a bad thing.
I think, why not? I think Vegas is a great contingency plan. That's, you know, it's always been, they play summer league out there. Why not? Like, that's a great contingency plan. Yeah, I mean, I keep hearing that too, but I keep hearing that they're going to have enough security around to make sure that they're not near the player. So, I'd be surprised if they move it, but at some point, I'm just glad we're going to get basketball. I don't care where they play. I'm just glad you could play outside for like at this point. I want to see some basketball.
Right.
You know,
I don't care if you're at the playground. Right. I don't care where you are playing this thing at. Right?
Tape this.
Absolutely. Tape I don't care if it's in somebody's gym. I don't care. I don't care. You're absolutely right.
Right, just let's. I can't wait. I want to text you that the schedule's already out. I'm like, yes, it's actually going to happen.
So exciting, right?
I mean, July 30th is the actual start date.
That's the first game, right? I think it's on TNT.
Yeah, there's like I think the yeah we've got so July 30th. Yeah, Utah Jazz versus New Orleans. The Pelicans at 6:30. Then you got the Clippers and the Lakers at 9 that night. I mean, yeah. Then the 31st, you get Boston against Milwaukee. Yeah, Houston versus.
So are we
Houston
getting two a days from that point forward? Wouldn't that just be amazing?
It looks like that. Yeah, I mean, but look at the, then you got August 1st, you've got one, Miami Heat versus Denver at 1, Utah versus Oklahoma City at 3:30, New Orleans versus Los Angeles Clippers at 6, Los Angeles Lakers versus Toronto 8:30. So there's like four games on August 1st, man. Look at this, like 1, 2, 3, four games. Yeah,
amazing.
They're just going to keep just doubling up these games. Like, it's not like high school style, man. It's like, get them all done.
Nice. Well, here's the having a lot more. We'll have a ton more conversations between this point and that point. And here's the sports starting again. Thank goodness. We're waiting to see what show is going to be. It looks like we are in motion here for all of the sports for the most part, right? Yeah. The ones that we're playing. Yeah. NFL is still off a bit, but for the sports that we're playing, we're back in action.
Yeah, and baseball is actually starting on the 23rd. So I mean,
That's where I'll be at.
23 days. Yeah, we're gonna have sports.
Do you know what the first game for baseball is? Did they release their schedule yet?
Yeah, Yankees. Yeah, yeah. The first one is Nats versus Yankees. Is your opening?
Nats and Yankees.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so we'll see what happens. It's Reggie and ATL Sports Talk with Eugene Morton. Check us out, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you find your podcast, reputable and not reputable. Thank you.